May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 376. Lord, I cannot let thee go till a blessing thou bestow. Do not turn away thy face, mine's an urgent, pressing case. Hymn 376.
Thank you.
Our reading from God's holy word is the book of Nehemiah, chapter 13. Nehemiah, chapter 13. On that day, they read in the book of Moses in the audience of the people, and therein was found written that the Ammonite and the Moabite should not come into the congregation of God forever, because they met not the children of Israel with bread and with water, but hired Balaam against them, that he should curse them. Howbeit, our God turned the curse into a blessing. Now it came to pass, when they had heard the law, that they separated from Israel all the mixed multitude. And before this, Eliashib the priest, having the oversight of the chamber of the house of our God, was allied unto Tobiah. And he had prepared for him a great chamber, where aforetime they laid the meat offerings, the frankincense, and the vessels, and the tithes of the corn, the new wine, and the oil, which was commanded to be given to the Levites, and the singers, and the porters, and the offerings of the priests. But in all this time was not I at Jerusalem. For in the 32nd year of Artaxerxes, king of Babylon, came I unto the king, and after certain days obtained I leave of the king. And I came to Jerusalem, and understood of the evil that Eliashib did for Tobiah, in preparing him a chamber in the courts of the house of God. And it grieved me sore. Therefore I cast forth all the household stuff of Tobiah out of the chamber. Then I commanded, and they cleansed the chambers. And thither brought I again the vessels of the house of God, with the meat offering and the frankincense. And I could perceive that the portions of the Levites had not been given them. For the Levites and the singers that did the work were fled every one to his field. Then contended I with the rulers, and said, "Why is the house of God forsaken?" And I gathered them together, and set them in their place. Then brought all Judah the tithe of the corn, and the new wine, and the oil, unto the treasuries. And I made treasurers over the treasuries, Shelemiah the priest, and Zadok the scribe, and of the Levites, Pedaiah. And next to them was Hanan the son of Zechar, the son of Mattaniah. For they were counted faithful, and their office was to distribute unto their brethren. Remember me, O my God, concerning this, and wipe not out my good deeds that I have done for the house of my God and for the offices thereof. In those days saw I in Judah some treading wine presses on the Sabbath, and bringing in sheaves and lading asses, as also wine, grapes, and figs, and all manner of burdens, which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, And I testified against them in the day wherein they sold victuals. There dwelt men of Tyre also therein, which brought fish and all manner of ware, and sold on the Sabbath unto the children of Judah and in Jerusalem. Then I contended with the nobles of Judah, and said unto them, What evil thing is this that ye do, and profane the Sabbath day? Did not your fathers thus? And did not our God bring all this evil upon us and upon this city? Yet ye bring more wrath upon Israel by profaning the Sabbath. And it came to pass that when the gates of Jerusalem began to be dark before the Sabbath, I commanded that the gates should be shut, and charged that they should not be opened till after the Sabbath. And some of my servants set I at the gates, that there should no burden be brought in on the Sabbath day. So the merchants and sellers of all kind of ware lodged without Jerusalem once or twice. Then I testified against them and said unto them, Why lodge ye about the wall? If ye do so again, I will lay hands on you. From that time forth came they no more on the Sabbath. And I commanded the Levites that they should cleanse themselves, and that they should come and keep the gates to sanctify the Sabbath day. Remember me, O my God, concerning this also, and spare me according to the greatness of thy mercy. In those days also saw I Jews that had married wives of Ashdod, of Ammon, and of Moab. And their children spake half in the speech of Ashdod, and could not speak in the Jews' language, but according to the language of each people. And I contended with them, and cursed them, and smote certain of them, and plucked off their hair, and made them swear by God, saying, Ye shall not give your daughters unto their sons, nor take their daughters unto your sons or for yourselves. Did not Solomon, king of Israel, sin by these things? Yet among many nations was there no king like him, who was beloved of his God, and God made him king over all Israel. Nevertheless, even him did outlandish women cause to sin. Shall we then hearken unto you to do all this great evil, to transgress against our God in marrying strange wives? And one of the sons of Joiada, the son of Eliashib, the high priest, was son-in-law to Sanballat the Horonite. Therefore I chased him from me. Remember them, O my God, because they have defiled the priesthood and the covenant of the priesthood and of the Levites. Thus cleansed I them from all strangers, and appointed the wards of the priests and the Levites, every one in his business. And for the wood offering at times appointed, and for the first fruits. Remember me, O my God, for good. Amen. The Lord bless his holy word to our souls. And now let us sing hymn 739. No help in self I find, and yet have sought it well. The native treasure of my mind is sin and death and hell. Hymn 739.
Teach us how to pray. Most merciful and gracious God, in thy sovereignty and mercy, thou hast spared us once more to gather in thy courts here. And yet, O Lord, we solemnly realise it is one less And oh, how much nearer eternity we each are since we were last here. And oh, we pray thou wilt solemnize our minds and our hearts as we gather to worship thee. Oh, we pray thou wilt draw our hearts and our affections heavenward, away from the things of time and of this world. For thou hast said in thy word, set your affections on things above, where Christ sitteth, and not on things of this earth. And oh, as we gather to worship thee this day, we pray for the divine influence of thy blessed Holy Spirit, that we may be under that blessed guidance of thy Spirit in each part of our worship, whether we speak or whether we hear. And oh, may thy word be made life and power to us. And it may be a food to the hungry and drink to the thirsty. That thy hungry poor may feed upon thy word. And we may be able to say from our hearts what dear Jeremiah said. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And they were unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Oh, we pray, dear Lord, that thou wilt speak to our souls. We may hear thy voice, and that we may know the sweet application of thy word. And it may be made life and power to us. And that there may be those things done this day in the name of the Holy Child Jesus. And may our precious Jesus be made very precious to each of our souls, if it would please us. May he be to us the one thing that is needful, the chiefest among 10,000, the altogether lovely. O Lord, if we come, we would come pleading his precious name and precious blood. We seek for that sweet access at the throne of thy grace. And O Lord, we come as a poor, needy, helpless sinner. Without thee we can do nothing. And O Lord, we would earnestly plead that thou wilt rend the heavens and come down. The mountains might flow down at thy presence. Thou knowest how we have each gathered, dear Lord. We pray that our gathering together may prove to be of thee. For thou hast said that unto him, a precious Jesus, that blessed Shiloh, shall the gathering of the people be. O Lord, may we be in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and thy Spirit rule our spirit. May we have the mind and the Spirit of Christ. For thou hast said, except ye have the Spirit of Christ, ye are none of his. Oh, we pray that we might each be graciously exercised concerning our souls and eternity. And any that as yet know thee not, Lord, and do not seek thee concerning their souls, may from this very hour be brought into real concern. May the cry of many be, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Lord, we pray that thou wilt blot out all the many sins of our hearts, Lord, and our lives and our conversation and thoughts, Lord. How we need thee to make us white in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, we pray for that true repenting heart and contrite spirit to be granted. We may be able to say with dear Job, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Oh, may we ever be as penitent sinners at thy dear feet, begging and pleading for mercy, pleading for the application of thy precious blood. That blood that doth for sin atone. Oh, do seal pardon, Lord, and peace in the hearts of thy sin-sick people. May burdened sinners lose their load and downcast souls rejoice. Oh, we pray, dear Lord, thou wilt meet the cases of thy people this day. May none be empty sent away. Oh, do make us real, Lord, in the vital things of God. Lord, if we're not in that narrow way, we pray thou wilt put us in it. May we never be left to be deceived or to have a name to live and yet be dead. May we be quickened by thy Spirit and live a life of prayer and faith. And, O Lord, how we need thee to give us that living, vital faith. And, oh, that we might truly believe, even to the saving of our souls. We may wholly trust in thee and in thy finished work. We may have that faith to believe that nothing is impossible with thee. Oh, do hear and answer the cries and groans of thy dear people. Knowest, Lord, those in deep need, whether in their souls or in body or in the pathway they're walking in. May they sweetly prove what the dear poet said, my every need he richly will supply, nor will his mercy ever let me die. O Lord, do come and lift up any that are cast down. Especially pray for our dear brother in his great loss and the dear family. Oh, may they know thy sweet upholding grace. And, oh Lord, do sanctify these sins, that out of the sorrow there may come forth the joy which only thou canst bring. O Lord, may they prove thy sweet promise that weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Oh, may they know that sweet inward joy. We thank thee for thy upholding and maintaining grace thou hast given them thus far. And we we pray thou wilt go on to be gracious. May they be enabled to say, like dear Job did, the Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And oh, do sanctify it to the church here, Lord. I have lost a pillar. And we pray that there may be yet others, Lord, constrained to follow them, that there may be those like Elisha to follow on. And as thou dost remove thy saints from the earth, may there be, even among the dear young ones here, those that shall follow on to know the Lord and seek most earnestly his face. We pray thou wilt keep each of the young, Lord, in these dark and solemn days. May they be raised up to be pillars in thy house, in their day and generation, if it would please them. Hear the prayers of dear parents for their offspring, who bless the dear babes, the dear children, the dear young people. And may they each be brought to know thee in their early days, whom to know is life eternal. May the prayers that are put up for them be heard and answered. There may be yet a seed to serve thee, a generation to call thee the Redeemer blessed. We thank thee for each one of the dear babes, Lord, and those that carry offspring. We pray for safe deliverance in the appointed time, Lord. Thou wilt grant life and spare life, that there may be yet seen the wonders God alone can do, who take away all the fears of those that are fearful. Grant them a fear not, we beseech thee. And those that sorrow, or do comfort them and help them, may they prove thou art their comforter. For thou didst promise to send the Holy Ghost among us and among thy people. He shall teach thee all things. And Lord, we pray for that comfort to be sent down. For thou didst say, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Lord, those that are graciously exercised, oh, do bring to fruition in thy time those exercises. And may those, Lord, that are tried and tempted be delivered from the tempter's power. Oh, do cast the adversary out, we pray. And oh, do remember those that walk in the path of affliction. We thank thee for the measure of healing to those that have been laid aside. We pray that many, and that thy servants too, may be healed in their afflictions, if it would please thee, and restored. And, O Lord, if it's thy will that the afflictions upon thy dear people are to bring them to the end of their lives here, we would not wish the hours more slow to keep them from their love. O Lord, do help the deacons here and bless them and help them in the choice of the hymns and in all the burdens they bear. May they know those sweet times where there's flowing together between pulpit, desk and pew. That thy precious name exalted, sinners laid in the dust. Do help each of thy servants, Lord. Grant them that gracious anointing and divine liberty in the preaching of the word. Help thy dear servant with our own flock today. May he come in the fullness of the gospel and thy word through him be made life and power to thy dear people. And oh, may there be that real fruit to follow the preaching of the word. We thank thee, those thou hast constrained of late. And Lord, we pray that others may yet venture while there's room. And oh, we pray, dear Lord, that thy smile may rest upon the churches once more, and that there may be a gracious revival and building up. Lord, do in mercy look upon this nation. We pray that thou wouldst stem the tide of the plague if it would please thee. But, O Lord, do speak through it to our leaders and rulers, and may many be brought to acknowledge the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Thou art on the throne, Lord, and all events are at thy command. May this nation once again be a nation that fears thy holy name. Do preserve to us thy holy word, thy holy day, the privileges we're favoured with. May all the laws that are upon our statute book that are contrary to thy word yet be you removed from it. May there once again be a turning to the Lord God of Israel, who hear the cries of those that sigh and cry over the abominations done in the land. And we would praise thee, dear Lord, for all thy great mercies to us each, all thy goodness, and that thou hast not cut us off as cumbers of the ground. We seek for a heart of true thanksgiving, that we might love and praise thee more. To anoint us to speak a few things in thy holy name this day. O Lord, do give us that voice to speak, the hearing ear to thy dear people. And oh, may the blessed application of thy word be known and felt, Lord, in each of our hearts, that we may be humbled in the dust. Christ be first and last and all and in all, the one thing that is needful. Do forgive now what we've uttered amiss. Help us to fall into thy kind arms, sink or swim. And oh, do bless us with those eternal blessings that are in Christ Jesus. We ask these poor breathings in that precious name that prevails above every name, the name of Jesus, for his dear name's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 1097. A refuge for sinners, the gospel makes known. 'Tis found in the merits of Jesus alone. The weary, the tempted, and burdened by sin were never exempted from entering therein. Hymn 1097.
Thank you.
seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I'll direct you to Psalm 106 and the fourth verse. Psalm 106 and verse 4. Remember me, O Lord, with the favour that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation. Psalm 106, verse 4. Remember me, O Lord, with the favour that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation. This was the sincere longing of the heart of the dear psalmist, longing for the Lord to remember him. It's the prayer that the Lord teaches each one of his dear people to truly plead the Lord would remember them. If you look in God's holy word, I think if I remember rightly, there's about 18 characters in God's word that were enabled to plead this. A precious word, remember me, O Lord. It may have been the petition of your heart this morning, as you come to the house of God, Lord, do remember me. You look at others that the Lord has favoured, and what does it do? It stirs you up personally to plead such a prayer as this, that the Lord would remember you. Remember me. You may wonder why we read together that chapter in the prophecy of Nehemiah. You remember, dear Nehemiah was a most gracious exercise man concerning the rebuilding the walls. But in this closing chapter, you no doubt will have observed that three times, as he looks at the solemn condition, and I thought as we read it together this morning, it really is very typical of today. There were many things creeping into the house of God and to the people of God that were evil, and Satan was active. And we, of course, can read in the prophecy of Nehemiah the Sanballat and Tobiah, who so opposed all the work of God and Nehemiah and those that were building it. And even here, there were those from among them that were trying to bring things into the house of God that were contrary to God's word and to his will. But where did all these things bring dear Nehemiah? Right home to consider his own standing before the Lord. And three times in this chapter, he prays what's in our text. Remember me, O my God, in verse 14. And then too in verse 22 he says again, remember me, O my God. And then in that closing verse, that beautiful word, remember me, O my God, for good. You see, it wasn't just vain repetition, was it? It was the sincere longing of his heart that the Lord would remember him personally. in all what was going on, the forced marriages and the many things that were taking place that were grieving to the dear man. And when we look around today, there's many things that are grieving to the Lord's dear people, but not only to the Lord's dear people, but to the Lord himself. But here, the dear psalmist says, "Remember me, O Lord." Notice the urgency of it. O Lord, it was an inmost pleading from the depths of his heart for the Lord to remember him. And are there those of you this morning that are pleading like that? Go back to the book of Judges, to Samson. When the Philistines had taken his eyes from him, and he pleads with the Lord, and you can read it in the 16th chapter, I think it is, where he pleads with the Lord, "Lord, remember me." And how the Lord gave him that strength to pull those pillars down, and there were more of the enemies destroyed than in his death than in his life. The Lord remembered him, even as he was given that power and strength to do what God had commanded. Now, it may be you need the Lord to remember you in a certain way today. This text dropped in quite powerfully as I sat in the back seat of the chapel here before the service started on Friday, pleading with the Lord. He gave me a word to bring before you, and the Lord dropped this in with a measure of power. And yesterday morning, our dear friend read from God's word, and in his prayer he quoted it, and it seemed very confirming to me. "Remember me, O Lord, with the favour thou bearest unto thy people." Are there those of you this morning that are longing for the blessing that the Lord has given, the favour that he gives to his dear people? It's a simple prayer, this is, but it's full of reality. The Lord indicted the heart of the dear psalmist to pray it, just as he did Nehemiah, just as he did Samson, just as he did the dying thief. What did the dear man say? He knew he was receiving the just reward and penalty because of all the sin he committed. But he says, as he comes to those last breaths of his life, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And what did the Lord say to him? He did remember him, didn't he? You know, those that truly plead this from the depths of their inmost heart, the time will come when he will remember them. Oh yes, like he did that dying thief. What did the Lord answer the dear man? "This day," and what a message it was, wasn't it? "This day shalt thou be with me in paradise." The Lord remembered him even in the closing moments of his life, as his life was ebbing away. "Remember me, O Lord." And what seemed very sweet to me, "with the favour that thou bearest unto thy people." You know, the Lord's dear people are the most favoured people that walk this earth. Oh, they are. I know what some will say immediately, "Oh, but you think of some of the trials they have to walk through, some of the losses, some of the crosses." But you see, they're favoured with those favours the world knows nothing of. And let us help just briefly this morning look at a few of those favours. And this prayer, you know, before I look at them, this prayer, and it comes back powerfully to my heart, because in my early days, I remember sitting in Stapler's Chapel, and I'd been brought face to face when I was 7 with eternity, and there were many at the chapel being taken at that time, and the devil said to me, "Ah, but you'll be the next." And I remember pleading in that bed of affliction when I was so ill with pneumonia, this prayer, "Lord, remember me with the favour. With the favour that thou bearest unto thy people." And you know, I used to look at some of those old saints and thought, well, the Lord is wonderfully favouring them. But I couldn't understand what they were favoured with, but I knew they were like Ruth saw in Naomi. There was something different about them. They got something she longed for. And so did my poor heart. Well, what were those favours? Well, firstly, they were favoured to have a God in heaven to go to in prayer. What a favour it is. We've got a one in heaven that understands exactly what the child of God needs before they even ask or think. You may say, well, the Lord knows what path I'm in and what we're in today. He does, poor soul. And he knows how to favour you in that pathway. Well, he does. Remember me, O Lord, with the favour thou bearest to thy people. How, what a favour it is. The throne of grace is open for the poor sinner to come with all their need. You think of Saul of Tarsus when the Lord began to work in him. What did he say? "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" His eyes were directed far above the things of this earth to God in heaven, who was working in him his grace and his fear. What a favour it is we've got. You can think of times when you're in trouble, or times when you're weighed down because of your sin and you don't know what to do. It's like we read in the Word of God, neither know we what to do, but they did. Jehoshaphat did, didn't he? He uttered those words, and so often we do, don't we? It may be young ones in a circumstance, it may be at school, it may be at work, it may be at college. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. He knew where to look, didn't he? Heavenward, where the Lord alone could do for him, far exceeding abundantly, than he could ask or even think. What a favour to have the throne of grace, the door of mercy that stands open all day for the poor and the needy who knock by the way. You think of the publican, those that are of you that are burdened by sin maybe this morning, "Lord, do remember me." What a mercy it was, wasn't it, that dear publican and the poor sinner in 2021 can go to him who has mercy upon sinners. Oh God, he addresses the God of heaven, "Be merciful to me, a sinner." Do you know what it is to plead it? And the Lord favours you with access in and through the blessed person of the Lord Jesus. He's made the way whereby a poor, dejected child of God can approach the God of heaven. They can tell the Lord everything. I remember seeing a dear old lady once, and she said to me in her simplicity and in a very humble way, she said, "You know, I bless the Lord that I've got a God to go to that understands all I need before I even ask or think." And she said, "I can tell him everything. Spread it all before him." And you think what you may be in today, you spread it all before him, poor soul. He understands the sigh divine and marks the secret groan, doesn't he? "Remember me, O Lord, with the favour." And what a favour it is. We've got a prayer hearing and a prayer answering God to go to. Take everything. We know the hymn's not in our book, but it's a living reality. Really, take everything to God in prayer. Spread it all before him. Leave it at his dear feet. Cast in what I preach from, I think, when I came recently here. Cast in all your care upon him, for he careth for you. But then another blessed favour the Lord blesses his dear people is, he favour them with his grace. Oh, he will. And I feel more and more, the older I get, the need of God's grace. Grace, when it is given, makes all the difference to the child of God. It'll turn their feet from serving Satan to turn their feet to serve the Lord, and their heart to serve him. You see, it was grace given to the Apostle Paul when he was Saul of Tarsus on that Damascus road that turned him from all this Pharisaic religion to seek and serve the Lord. The Lord killed him and made him alive. He killed him of all that natural religion he got and all that was of the Pharisees and stripped him of it all. And brought him under God's grace to serve the Lord in reverence and in godly fear. And there are so many ways and many sermons could be preached on it. The wonderful grace the Lord gives to his people. And what a favour to have that grace. You might know what you'll say, poor soul. "Oh, but I feel I've got so little of it." If you've got a grain of it, poor soul, you'll never sink into hell. It's impossible. Oh, to have that grace given. What a favour when the Lord gives us grace. And what does it mean, really? Well, the simple meaning, of course, of the grace of God is free, unmerited favour to poor sinners. You can do nothing to inherit it or merit it. It's all of his grace. And here you think of the psalmist David, how many times he had to pray, "Lord, remember me. Remember me, O Lord, with the favour that thou bearest unto thy people." And it may be there's one here this morning needs particularly the Lord to give you his grace. Grace will make us hate sin, abhor ourselves, and grace will lead us to real repentance, real godly sorrow, to weep and mourn over our sin and after him. But then we need, don't we, the various forms of grace that he gives to his people. Think firstly of the grace of faith. the grace of faith will enable the child of God to look heavenward continually. You think of Jonah in the fish's belly. Yet I will look again unto God's holy temple. Faith enabled him to look heavenward. The grace of God given to him to look heavenward. I will look again. And that blessed holy temple was none other than the dear Lord Jesus himself. He got nowhere else to look at it. You think of what you may be in today in your poor soul or in your circumstance. Where are you looking? This is where the child of God is favoured above all men of the earth, when he favours them with faith. Because without faith it is impossible to please God. The apostle makes it so clear, doesn't he? Without faith. This is why the world, the ungodly, and those of you dear children, those at school, don't believe in a God. Because they got no faith. And we by nature can never believe in the Lord or seek him in reality. We may utter many words without living vital faith. It's a wonderful grace given, a favour given to the Lord's dear people. Or you can go to Mount Carmel when all those thousands were worshipping Baal. Elijah felt he was the only one left. And you look how he seeks to prove before the worshippers of Baal, who was the living God in Israel. The God that sendeth fire, let him be God. And what does he do? He calls upon the God of heaven, let it be known this day that thou art God and that I am thy servant. Let it be known. Faith in him, believe that God of heaven would send down the fire. He puts those religious professors of Baal to the test. Call upon thy God. What was that? Neither voice nor hearing. Why? Because their God was a dead God. In the course of my work years ago now, I wished to go to the convent at Staples, and as far as the work went, and all these idols, you know, of the Virgin Mary, all set up. And the nuns used to go and fall down before them. They worshipped them. But you know, in those idols there was neither life nor hearing. He was as dead as the seats you sit on. So they proved on Mount Carmel, didn't they? And there was no answer from Baal. But God of heaven, that Elijah called upon, sent down the fire. The Lord gave him that faith to believe the Lord would do it. Oh, that we may have that like faith, the grace and favour of God to sinners. You think of those that came to the Lord Jesus that were so burdened by sin. I think of the woman with the issue of blood. I often name it as a wonderful case to me. You know, the Lord gave her a favour. And that favour was this, to believe that God would heal her. After 12 years of affliction and no doctor of this earth could even begin to heal her. And in all her weakness she presses through the crowds to touch the border of his garment. That's faith in gracious exercise. And what a favour it was to that dear woman to possess it, wasn't it? and all she had to do was touch. I love what the hymn writer said, "One touch from thee will make me whole." Have you a grain of faith, poor soul, this morning that is reaching out for Christ, reaching to touch the border of his garment, longing for repentance, longing for mercy, longing for him to pardon all those sins that trouble you? Oh, the grace that the sinner needs, and one preacher to oneself, we need it more and more. The grace of faith. And you think of others that were like the four that carried the man sick of the palsy onto the roof. You look at the faith they were given. If they could but get him to Jesus, he would make him whole. And they go on the roof and let him down because of the press within the house. There's not room for them to enter in through the door. And they let him at the feet of Jesus. What did Jesus do? He says, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." And when the Pharisees and the Sadducees questioned him concerning why he said that, he said, whether it's easier to say, "Thy sins be forgiven thee," or "take up thy bed and walk." And immediately he took up his bed and walked, didn't he? Oh, that grace of faith. And it may be in a matter that concerns you much this morning. Oh, as the Lord gives you, may he give you that grace of faith to believe, and grace of faith to trust in him to fulfill what he has promised. And not only that, the grace of faith to look heavenward. The favour that thou bearest to thy dear people. And then, of course, there's the favour of pardon to a poor, dejected sinner. What a favour. Oh, poor soul, this morning, go on pleading. Go on wrestling. Give the Lord no rest until he seals pardon to your poor soul. Oh, it's sweet, you know, to seek for pardon, but it's sweeter still to experience it. The mountain of guilt may be ever so great before you that today, well, I'm speaking personally, but there have been those times where the sins have been like mountains. And it may be like that with you. The sin seems just like a mountain. How can it ever flow down? How can it ever be removed? And a dear soul come before the church the other week, and you know, the Lord wonderfully favoured her with those sins that were like mountains just to flow down at his presence. Oh, the favour of pardon, like the man I've just named that was let down to the feet of Jesus. He knew what it was. Look at the woman with the issue of blood. What did Jesus say to her? "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." And she could go in peace not only because the affliction had been removed, but because the Lord had sealed pardon in her soul. And the proof of it was, go in peace. You see, the way to real peace is through pardon. Oh, it is. real peace. You see, when the Lord removes all that sin, all that guilt that troubles you, all that burden that you have, the mountain of sin gone, there's such peace. And where does it flow from? All from Calvary, through the precious blood of the dear Redeemer. What does Mr. Hart say in the hymn? When his pardon is signed and his peace is procured. Oh, that glorious peace. With the favour. Oh, may the Lord favour us to know, and we need it continually, don't we? Because fresh contracted guilt plagues our poor heart. Every moment we live, we sin. But you see, we need that pardon sealed time and time again. And oh, may the Lord so favour us with it, but then I must leave it. But you think that's one other thing, blessed thing, that I would name before we leave it. You know, in it all is the love of God to sinners. In love he pardons them. In love he washes away all their sin. In love he went to Calvary to redeem them. In love he shed his precious blood for them. Oh, what a favour to have a taste of that love, you know. And when you have a taste of the love of Christ in your poor soul, you'll know what it is for all those sins to be washed away in a moment, all removed, filled with the love of Christ. But oh, to have those fresh tastes of it. His dying love in the poor sinner's heart. Remember me, O Lord, with the favour. Oh, may the Lord so favour us to know more and more of our pardon signed and our peace procured. Because there's the passport for heaven. You know, when you're favoured with it, you can lay down and die. Oh, yes. The Lord's a sovereign how he does it. There are many that think the Lord must say to them, son or daughter, thy sins are the many, you're all forgiven. We know there are those who are favoured with that. But he doesn't always do that. He can remove, and let me lovingly say it, all your sin without saying a word. Oh, he can. I remember dear old Mr. Morris, the late servant of God, in his loving, tender way, saying, beloved friends, he can pardon all your sin without saying a word. The fullness of his love flowing into your soul and all the sin is gone. Blessed place it is. I haven't time really, but I would say this in conclusion. You know, a little glimpse of his pierced hands, and I speak it with much reverence. His hands pierced on Calvary's tree for you. His wounded side. That soldier that pierced it, and what came forth? Blood and water. Cleansing for the poor sinner. Oh yes. A glimpse of Christ at Calvary. When melt the hardest marble of your heart and you'll say, Lord, why hast thou so favoured me? I'm so unworthy, I'm such a sinner, and yet thou hast favoured me with this blessing. Sealing pardon to my poor soul, assuring me that he suffered, bled and died for you. We need that assurance, don't we? What does the hymn writer say? assure my conscience of a part in the Redeemer's blood. Bear thy witness to my heart that I am born of God. Favours the world knows nothing of. Well, there are many other favours. If we're allowed time this evening, and by the help of God, I will go a little further with the text, but the time's gone. Remember me, O Lord, with the favour that thou bearest unto thy people. They're his, a precious Jesus, his people, all that the Father had given him to suffer, bleed and die, thy people. Amen.
God willing, Sunday school will be on Zoom this afternoon. The collections today are for Christian Concern and the Christian Legal Centre. God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening to be addressed by Mr. Field. Mr. Matthew Hyde hopes to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Gerald Buss next Lord's Day, and he hopes to address the Sunday school in the afternoon. And the evening service next Lord's Day will be at 6 o'clock. Our closing hymn is number 11. Thy mercy, my God, is the theme of my song, the joy of my heart and the boast of my tongue. Thy free grace alone, from the first to the last, has won my affections and bound my soul fast. Hymn number 11.
come over the poverty of our poor, feeble attempts. Do bless thy own word. May it not be not left on the chapel doorstep, but may there be a little that abides. Do forgive anything that's been amiss. May the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest and remain with us each now and forevermore. Amen.